Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, May 16th, 2013. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, we celebrate the legalization of home brewing in all of the 50 states of the Union with an interview with Brant Warren of Alabama's Right to Brew organization. If you're new to home brewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can follow me on Twitter. My username is Basic Brewing, all one word. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing.james, and our show page on Facebook is at facebook.com/basicbrewing. We're on Google Plus, too. You can find our little community on Google Plus by searching for Basic Brewing. Thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. You know how that works. Whenever you think of Amazon, think of us first and click on our ad on basicbrewing.com. That will take you to Amazon, where you can shop as usual. It won't cost you any extra, and you'll be helping us to bring you the show. We greatly appreciate your support. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site, too. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on iTunes and our Android app on Amazon.com. We're in the BlackBerry podcast directory, and we're in the Stitcher app as well, and we're on the Windows Phone directory, too. Check out our Brewer's Logbook at basicbrewingshop.com. In the front is a calendar that you can use to track your fermentations and plan your brews. And the good thing about the calendar is that it is blank, so you have a full year of calendar pages no matter when you start your brewing year. And there is room in the back to log the details of up to 50 batches of brew. If you want to put a tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, so to speak, you can go to basicbrewing.com/support. And thanks to everybody who has done so already. Protect your precious beer with one of our growler bags. The bag is essentially a cylindrical cooler that is just the right size to accommodate a 64-ounce growler or a couple of 22-ounce bombers or three 12-ounce bottles. And Steve Wilkes has been using it to tote around stuff for his drum kit to various gigs. So it is multiple use. You can check that out at basicbrewingshop.com. We've got a bit of time to dive into the mailbag this week before we talk to Brant. And first of all, I have to clarify something from last week's discussion with Gordon Strong. Gordon essentially said that nowadays it's less up to judges to give technical advice on score sheets because of the availability of good information out there today. And I think he's got a point. And after we talked about that, I made a joke about telling people to go to Google to get answers for their brewing questions. Well, that doesn't mean that I don't welcome your questions via email for this show. I mean, your questions are, number one, a good gauge for me to see what issues and topics that we should cover more deeply. And especially if you want to know what my take is in particular on something, or Steve or Andy's take is, please don't hesitate to write. Sometimes it may take a while for me to write back, but I do try to at least reply to everybody, even when I write back to say that I have no clue about something, and share your note with somebody else who probably does have more of a clue. So anyway, don't hesitate to write. First, this letter comes from Jason in West Perth, Western Australia. Jason says, have just finished listening to the podcast on milling, posted in January. Have an idea for checking your grind size using aluminum foil. Rip up pieces of the foil into small pieces and ball them up before feeding them through your roller. When they come out the other side, you can measure the thickness they have compressed to. Jason says, I hate the idea of people throwing away their calipers when they could still be used to measure something. Jason says, by the way, when you started doing this show, did you think you were going to give yourself a new job for 8 years? And no, I didn't. I frankly thought we'd run out of things to talk about after about 10 episodes. And July will mark the 8th anniversary of the show. It's crazy. We're coming up on 380 episodes just on the audio side. So appreciate the letter and the tip, Jason. And while I'm thinking about it, as is our annual custom, we'll be taking off the month of June from posting episodes on both the audio and video side. We'll still be working at gathering content at the Homebrewers Conference in Philadelphia and other places, but to avoid conflicts with family vacations, the Homebrew Conference, etc., We're going to be taking the month of June off so that we don't have to have that regular thing that we have to do every week. But we'll be back in July on the other side with lots of stuff. Derek from Loveland, Colorado writes, that is some good news about Andy's barrel. He writes after hearing the show where Andy and I talk about his barrel. Derek says, Woodenville will sell their barrels at a bulk discount if you can get your club to order barrels. We got 10 of them for the Wise Guys Homebrew Club in Loveland, Colorado. I brewed an American stout for my first beer in the barrel. I let it sit in the barrel for about 3 weeks, and it had a strong whiskey flavor. I blended one keg with about 2 gallons of non-barrel-aged beer with about 3 gallons of aged beer and one that is all barrel-aged. I sent the blended beer to a local competition and scored 42. The non-blended beer is going to take a while for it to age, or I will end up blending it with something as the whiskey is a bit strong. Well, congratulations on the high score there, Derek, and thanks for the tip about the bulk discount for the barrels. Maybe there are other clubs out there who can benefit from that discount. And by the way, you'll be very interested in next week's show with Paul Kavalak of Nebraska Brewing. They do a lot with barrel aging, and he has some very useful things to say about wood character in beer as it ages over time in the bottle. And that's next week's show. I was going to air that show this week, but I thought that the successful legalization of homebrewing in Alabama was worth its own show. It marks the end of an era in American homebrew history. And Brant Warren witnessed it. Brant Warren, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Hi, James. It's great to be here.
How was your weekend?
The weekend was great. I only wish that I had time to brew legally.
And you are right now legal. I mean, it is legal to brew in Alabama right now, right?
That's correct. As of Thursday night, as soon as the governor signed the bill, it all became legal.
Now, that's not the case in Mississippi, right?
That's true. I don't remember their date. Is it July 1st?
That's what I've heard.
Yeah, and I can't speak for everybody, but we have sort of an unofficial agreement going on that we're going to agree that we are tied at 49.5. They passed the law first, we legalized first. It's only fair.
There you go. For this one thing, cross state rivalries can be put aside.
Well, right.
Well, it was kind of a nail biter there at the last. I mean, we aired some of the conversation in the House of Representatives on the program and got some very interesting reactions from listeners unfamiliar with the southern region of the United States. And
we get that every year.
And so after that passed, it was kind of a nail biter just getting into the Senate, right?
Well, just getting to the Senate floor, it certainly was, and that's where it got really frustrating because it's completely unrelated to our bill or our agenda. It's just politics in general was causing a lot of slowdown in the Senate. And there's just not much that that we could do as a grassroots effort, or even if we had a lot of lobbying power to stop that dam. So what happened was on last Tuesday, we heard that we were going to be the first bill on the special order calendar, and that's the order of business that the Senate chooses to do for a day. And the agenda started out with a lot of what is normal routine business, but thanks to filibustering, they never even got to that first bill after hours of listening. And then arguably more important than homebrew, the state budget, the the bill for that came up, and it became ready from committee, and so they immediately preempted the special order calendar and worked on the budget. And at that point, of course, we're all thinking there's no way they're coming back to us. The homebrew bill is not likely to see any attention that day, and there would only be 2 days left. So, yes, it was looking pretty dismal for a while.
And so when the bill finally came up for discussion on the Senate floor, I haven't listened to any of the recordings from that, but what was the tone of the debate?
Well, when it finally came up, coming up is a story of itself, because they finally, after hours and hours, passed the education budget bill, and we were expecting that they would just quit for the day. You know, it's nighttime already, and they've been going all day long, and figured a big budget passing would be a good stopping point for them. Well, what happened was they suddenly we hear in the audio in the background, because being gluttons for punishment, we're still listening, and we hear something about homebrew. We think, and then the next thing we know, they pull our bill up just completely out of order, just by unanimous consent. So completely unexpected by any of us, the bill comes up, and we have to go through two votes in the legislature until the budgets are officially passed. And so we passed the first vote with the roll call, and the Senate goes. Pretty slow when they vote, because all 35 names are called with an I or an A each time. So that just let the anticipation just grow and grow. Then they did the final passage vote without a single word of debate. Somebody moved to move for final passage, and they did another roll call vote, and I can't even describe how what my heart rate was when that was happening. But I've been doing the Twitter and Facebook updates for the organization, and I took a risk and started typing in the tweet that we passed, and I was just waiting for the vote count to be announced. And thankfully, it did pass, and the rest is history. As for why they brought it up, that's anybody's guess. I like to think that it was the grassroots effort, and they perhaps were just tired of hearing all the phone calls and emails they had been getting again and again, and all for weeks then.
Well, congratulations. Tell us
Thank
about
you.
The law itself. It's a bit more restrictive than the national standard.
It is. When we started 5 years ago, we had a bill that mirrored what the federal law said, pretty much, and it would have been a good bill to turn into a law from this homebrewer's perspective, but reality hit, and we had to work with some people and make some concessions and in order to gain support, and we ended up with a 15-gallon per quarter brewing limit, and that's also a possession limit. So that's basically it equals the average one brew session a month. So that is quite restrictive compared to the federal limits in most other states. But it sounded a lot better to the legislature. The concerns of just having hundreds of gallons and such a big number for people who don't understand or aren't really that familiar with home brewing. That's how we ended up getting to the 15-gallon limit.
Well, you got to look on the positive side. You're legally restricted in that way, but on the negative side, you're legally restricted in that way. On the positive side, homebrew shops aren't going to get busted anymore.
Right. Homebrew shops are not going to get busted. We are not going to need to hide in the garage when we're brewing. Not that really everyone did that. Some of us tended to, though. and so it's no longer an activity that you have to worry about somebody who just doesn't know what it is and thinks you're making meth or something. If they call the sheriff and they have to come out and check you out, that's always been a risk. Other problems, everything from homeowners insurance, if something were to go wrong, not covering, I'm in the Huntsville area, and a lot of the people up here that homebrew also have jobs that require security clearances, for example, and a felony conviction will cost you your job without a doubt up here. So
you've got to be breathing a big sigh of relief.
Oh, certainly. The prospect of having to do this another year when everything was lined up so perfectly at the beginning of the session, if the Senate had never been able to get us on the floor for a vote, then it would have been, I hate to admit it, it would have been very difficult to try again next year because it just would not have felt like there was anything we could do better than we did this year.
Yeah.
We went public, press releases, all kinds of news articles and interviews. We really opened up with social media, just trying to raise awareness and build the grassroots numbers to what we did, just to really prove to the legislature that this is what the people want.
Now, where are we as far, or where are you as far as competitions and transporting homebrew and all that?
The bill allows competitions and.
Well, it's not a bill anymore. Brandt, it's not
right.
A bill. Got to get out of that mindset.
I've been telling myself all day to quit calling it that. I knew I was going to slip up and do it when I was talking to you. five years of it being a bill. The law.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, it does provide for competitions and tastings. There are regulations. They will require a special events license issued by the ABC, which we are assured is not going to be expensive or any hassle. The restrictions are more related to where they can be held because, again, special interests were concerned about mixing homebrew and commercial beers in the same setting. You know, we're giving away homebrew, basically, if you think of it that way, because you obviously can't sell homebrew at the same place that some places is selling commercial beer, then you're cutting into the commercial beer sales. And so anyway, the competition can't be held anywhere that that presently has an ABC license. But all of that said, I just got word today that in Birmingham that there's going to be a competition, the Alabama Brew Off. I'm afraid I don't have any details yet, but in just about a month's time, I believe is when the judging will be.
Wow.
Which is kind of ironic if you think about it. I'm wondering how many of those beers will have been brewed since last Thursday. Yeah.
Well, I guess it doesn't state that the law is retroactive, I guess, and so they can't bust you for an old ale that's been in the bottle or in the keg for a year.
That's true. Yeah, some of us were hypothesizing on does that mean that anything that homebrewers already had available is now legal, or or does it really matter? Well, we knew the answer to the last part.
Surely law enforcement agencies will relax at this point and give you that, surely. I couldn't imagine them. What was it in Montgomery? There was the homebrew store that was selling homebrew equipment that got raided, and they not only confiscated homebrew equipment, but they also confiscated homebrewing books as well.
That was Hop City in Birmingham last fall.
Oh, okay.
An actual homebrew supply store in Montgomery did get a letter from the ABC just a few days before the Senate picked up the vote, picked up the bill for a vote. And we made sure our legislators knew that this small business was in jeopardy and that the bill would solve their problem immediately, and that very well may have been part of the reason that they decided to bring the bill up.
Well, in that case, it was fortunate timing, and again, it's a concrete example. In the past, people have asked me, why does it matter? I'm going to brew whether it's legal or not. Why does it matter if it's legal? Well, it matters because people do get, people in the past, when homebrewing wasn't legal in all 50 states, people did get in trouble with the law, and businesses would get in trouble with the law as well. So it's not a small thing that this has passed.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, the private citizen, would likely not get in trouble for small batch home brewing, unless you're doing something else wrong. So there's not really a big concern in the past about that. But you just never know when the administration is going to change and the whole position might change. So it's definitely a big deal.
Now, how's the craft beer industry down in Alabama?
It's been growing exponentially or more since the Free the Hops bills turned into laws themselves over the past several years. The ones that raise the allowed ABV of beer from the 6% limit to, I believe, 13.9%. Larger bottles. We couldn't get anything larger than a pint bottle here. So 750s and bombers are allowed now, and then tap rooms were able to open up at breweries a couple of years ago, and so I should be able to quote the number. The Alabama Brewers Guild has quite a few numbers now of member breweries that have opened from one end of the state to the other. just in the past few years. So we went from virtually almost nothing to doing pretty well now, considering we are Alabama and we have just changed the laws in recent years. I think the progress has been remarkable, though. So we're well on our way.
Well, good. I think we're. I mean, we were ahead of you as far as the homebrew legalization was concerned, but, you know, Arkansas still has, last time I checked, most of the counties were either dry or, you know, really restrictive as far as, you know, alcohol is concerned, even beer sales, you know, beer and wine sales. So it's a different kind of, like I said before, the people who aren't from the South don't really understand the kind of culture that we're having to deal with as homebrewers and lovers of good beer.
That's true, and we have our fair share of dry counties as well. Either the counties flip or the larger towns and cities and them get more progressive and go wet each year or a few years. So it's getting better, but without a doubt, we have a long way to go in the state.
I hate to ask, but are you going to lay low for a while and kind of enjoy the success, or do you have in the back of your mind, or does your organization have in the back of its mind, kind of working on that, those restrictions on the homebrew law in the future?
Officially, we're just going to enjoy the victory for now, and we just have not truly talk much about what's next. So the door is wide open. We'll see. There are other organizations. I think I mentioned Free the Hops earlier, and we worked together well this year, and maybe there's more to do together. We'll just have to see where the path takes us.
Well, don't rest on your laurels too much. If there's something that needs to be done, I hope that you guys can come together and make some positive change and do what you've been doing, and, you know, take advantage of the new power of social media and make some changes. Congratulations again, and I wish you guys the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Well, thanks again to Brandt and everybody in Alabama. There is still some work to be done in the United States on making sure it's legal to transport homebrew and to have competitions and festivals, so it's not entirely over yet. I was interviewed for an article on stateline.org that covers a bit of that, and I put a link to that article on our Facebook page at facebook.com/basicbrewing. And I thought the reporter, Melissa Maynard, did a great job of encapsulating the issue, and it might be worth a read. And for me, it's always interesting to be on the receiving side of the question asking instead of, you know, being Mr. Journalist. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Our Basic Brewing growler bags are available in our shop. Protect your precious homebrew and craft beer as you take it from place to place as the weather warms up this season here in the Northern Hemisphere. Check out our support link where you can throw a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to our podcasts. Be sure to check out our DVDs, as always, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. We've got combo deals to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time, and you can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store, too. Our Brewer's Logbooks are in the store. Keep track of up to 50 batches of beer. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com, and if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support there. Our featured products that were purchased through the link are Make Your Own Ukulele, The Essential Guide to Building, Tuning, and Learning to Play the Uke. And Timex Men's T5E231 Iron Man Traditional 100 Lap Silver Tone / Black Resin Strap Watch. And again, thanks again, everybody. Remember, you see, this is what you get for listening to the end. I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We greatly appreciate your support. And don't forget, you can also join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own magazine through our associate links on basicbrewing.com. That's all until next week. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.